Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, September 19, 2007, the only September 19, 2007 in the history of humanity. We're making it a great one. Hope you are too, choosing to see the best in people. That's what we do. And speaking of the best of people, please welcome online the president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Hey!
How are you?
I am wonderful, Glenn. How are you tonight?
I have no complaints, but thank you for caring enough to ask.
I do care.
I know you care, which is much appreciated. We're welcoming you to participate, and we will appreciate that as well, ladies and gentlemen, by emailing us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com with your questions, with your comments, with your concerns. We just ask that you make them relatively brief so we can get to everybody by the end of the evening. And also include where you are listening from, because that is always an interesting thing. We like to know where people are grasping and catching the vision known as the Gospel Revolution. The gospel, the gospel of grace and peace, Michael. And if you know, if there's anything that typifies Christian television, Christian media, Christian preaching, it's that it is not full of grace and it's not full of peace. have you caught any Christian television lately? Have you been channel surfing?
Yes, I still scan. And I sit and listen long enough to know that I can't quit. So.
did you can't what?
I can't quit.
quit watching it?
I can't quit sharing the gospel. It's like,
oh, I see what you mean.
Dear Lord, I can't. If these guys would shut up, I could quit.
You know, that's a good point.
But they just won't shut up.
They won't. It's getting worse, too. It really is. We've talked a couple times about this young couple. Have you get God TV now? Have you seen these guys? Wendy?
No, I haven't.
Rory and Wendy from England, are like a urban, cool, hip version of the Crouches, and they have all the sort of the young, hip ministries from Australia and England and the United States. Kim Clement. Do you know that name, Michael? Kim Clement?
From somewhere. I don't know why.
he was probably just coming on the scene. He might have been actually after your time, but he's a so-called prophet. He does all the prophecy stuff. And we actually have a question about prophecy and the word of knowledge later on, so stay logged on for that. But, yeah, he's out there. I mean, he is really out there, very creative. Does a lot of spontaneous singing and praising and a lot of just weird, strange prophecies. But, I actually spent the last couple days just sort of scouting, if you will, and watching some of this stuff. And it is amazing to say that it just keeps getting wackier.
Yeah, we need church lady.
Yeah.
Ain't that special?
couldn't that be Satan? I was watching last night, late night, and a guy I used to listen to, a guy named Rick Joyner from Morningstar Ministries in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they used to be kind of cool and cutting edge when I was in the church. Man, he was preaching on the devil, and we they're still preaching, we got to take back the land, and you got to take authority, and it has just got to drive people absolutely crazy.
Well, we see that that's what's happening, and that's why people are evacuating to the gospelrevolution.com.
Exactly.
It is, these are all the things that, when Rick Joyner began to share some of grace, everybody was excited. But, there becomes, the thing I've noticed, Glenn, over the years is there comes a dividing point. You have to go one way or the other. And if you have embraced grace at all, and then you choose to go no further, you become more legalistic than you were before.
That's what I found.
There is no half grace. I've had some people, that have been listening, and they're beginning to understand, and they say, "Well, I'm freer than I was," and I, I said, well, there is no such thing. You're either free or you're not. You know, there's no freer.
It's kind of like being sort of pregnant.
That's right. There's no in-between here, yeah. You know. So, but we, our desire is to see everybody walk in the complete freedom of the gospel, because there is no half gospel, so why should there be a half freedom?
Well, this is what we found. The first time I ever heard about grace was at our church in Wisconsin, and the pastor there was sharing a whole heck of a lot of it, and people were responding positively.
Yeah.
And but exactly what you said happened, Mike. He got to a point where he had to either continue down that road or reel him back in. And he chose to reel him back in. I remember the day that it happened when he stood up and so arrogantly and boldly proclaimed. Now, this was a wild, charismatic church. We did the whole thing. I mean, we had the rolling in the aisles, the laughter, the deliverances, all kinds of strange teachings, and really people who were truly hungry for the presence of God and the knowledge of God. And I remember when he stood up and proclaimed that we were an Orthodox Christian church, and we believed in the orthodoxy. And from that point on, it got more controlling, and it was already controlling, of course, but they were going down the gospel road. And when the Bible talks about it being a narrow way, it's not a negative thing, but it's very narrow. It's very simplistic. It's very concise. And everything else is, you know, it's just like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was one tree that could not be partaken of. Everything else you could do. Now it's the exact opposite. You can partake of any tree you want, except for the knowledge of good and evil. But the narrow way, it's still very, very narrow what God wants us, we believe, to think, right?
Right. Yes. You know, there's always different views of things, but definitely we know that there, when it comes to the gospel, it is, the thing about it is that it is a single path, all leading one direction. But the freedom that's involved in the path, it's just so amazing. You know, it's just, it's hard to even describe the, it's like coming through the birth canal, you know. You know, it's a very narrow passage to get out, but my gosh, what freedom. You know, and we've had people experience, you know, the difficulty in coming down that narrow path, but winding up in absolute freedom of the gospel. But you just have to surrender to the gospel, because just as in birth, you don't have to play any role in it. You just have to relax and let it know, let yourself know that this is just the way it is.
Right.
You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You know, a saint of God, you know, regardless of where you've come from or where you're going, it's you're all that God ever expected you to be right now. When you get to heaven, you're not going to progress to the perfect stage. You're already there.
Right.
You are already there. And we're not waiting to get to heaven to attain anything. You know, heaven's just a heartbeat away for every one of us, and but there's nothing as far as relationship with God that you will gain. You will get no closer to God. Your reality, I'm sure, will grow. Even as ours has grown, those that embrace the gospel, your reality of oneness just becomes so heightened and enlightened. You know, it's just, it really is just an amazing journey.
You know, with that passage that talks about narrow is the way, but broad is the way of destruction, it's like if you get off the gospel mindset and begin to think that somehow your prayers or somehow your giving or your fastings or your studying does anything with your relationship to God, that does lead to destruction. It leads not to a destruction that's going to lead somebody to hell, but it leads to emotional and mental tumult that, frankly, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. It's the lack of the understanding of how God sees us that leads a lot of people to not only some crazy thinking, but some incredibly destructive actions that a lot of times not only emotionally harm people, but this is where the vast majorities of war have come from, Michael, is from people just not understanding that the people that they were fighting are not on the other side of God. You know, Christopher Hitchens, who's a well-known author, and he's on a lot of talk shows all the time, the guy's from England, he just wrote a book called God is Not Great, which is, of course, a takeoff on the Islam, God is great. God is not great, he says. And he makes the case that religion is the number one vehicle of evil throughout history. And you can't argue that. I mean, that is just historical fact. And it's all because, Michael, one group of people, and this is what's going on today, right now in our world, we think we're so advanced, so evolved. And here we are right now during our time, the war that is being waged right now is a religious war between two groups of people, one that thinks that they need to bring about the apocalypse, and one that thinks that the apocalypse is also around the corner, that this is evidence of it, and they just think that they have the best place with God. And the fact of the matter is, whether you're Christian or Muslim or Jewish or Hindu or atheistic, everybody is the same as far as the Almighty is concerned.
Yes, absolutely. And that's good news. It's good news, not just for the individual, but it's good news for the world. It's healing. It's the healing of the nations. And that's why we press forward with this gospel message, is because we really do believe that it is the only healing of the nations that there is. It's certainly the only true healing of the individual's heart and mind, and their rescue from the horrible consequences of feeding from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And not only is it healing for the heart, mind, and soul of the individual, but it's also the healing for the nation. And, we have a great vision. You know, people talk about having visions and dreams. I have a dream. I have a vision. And it is nothing short of infecting and affecting the entire planet with this gospel.
And we do believe that as people and large groups of people receive the understanding of the gospel, that it does manifest eventually the grace. And we talked about that last week when we heard from Rory Napton of Midnight Clear, and hopefully later on in the webcast we will hear from Rory to get kind of an update about what's going on with his efforts with his band. But we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, because the gospel will manifest a certain grace and a certain peace that is beyond understanding, as the Bible says, but also that would bring about a different reaction to people who you think are on the outside looking in as far as God is concerned.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, and it's just the whole mindset that everybody's so frustrated with now. You know, they can't decide whether to go Democrat or Republican or independent or what. Let's go gospel, you know, because that is the only common ground that I can see for the human race. And, you know, it's wonderful to have different political views. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But, you know, we've got to stop demonizing each other because of a political view, and that somebody's not right with God, or that God has blessed one group of people and cursed another group. I got a call from somebody the other day just needing to be reaffirmed because somebody kind of assaulted them with, well, in fact, it was just today, our friend up in Montana, Don Murphy, has been a wonderful friend for years and supporter of the ministry. And Don had a relative to, you know, just, you know, tell him, start trying to tell him, you know, at some family funeral or something, you know, that it was a generational curse upon the family. And he tried to stand up and say, that's just not true, you know, and explain why. And he told me that he said, you know, she said she got very angry that I disagreed with her. And I said, well, I said, you know, that's the real strange difference. One of the strange differences, there's many for sure, is that I don't get angry because people disagree with me anymore. And that used to be, I know what it feels like to get nervous and upset and angry because somebody disagrees with me. Now, I might get upset if somebody's charging at me, and, you know, I just, you know, I might charge back. You know, I don't know. But it's not anything that upsets me anymore because someone challenges my views. In fact, the most delightful thing is for someone to truly challenge my view if they're going to let me respond. But that's not what you're going to get from a legalist. And if you ever disagree with them, they will get angry.
And they'll shut you off. I mean, they will close you off. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to talk about it. Uh-huh. I was talking to Steve Essery today, who is hosting an event with Michael next week in Southern Illinois. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to the gospelrevolution.com webpages and learn about these meetings that are coming up quickly. There's one Sunday in Richmond, Indiana, with Cliff Hazelbaker and his group. There's one next Tuesday in Southern Illinois in Johnston City. Yeah. With Steve. But what Steve was saying, and he's relatively new into the gospel, just maybe 4 months or so, he said he can't get people to talk with. He's invited, he said, bring everybody, bring 10 people to my one. And we'll, but they won't do it because it freaks the hell out of them.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very true. I mean, the thing of it is that the precious thing about all that is that, you know, inside them there's a heart that this gospel already abides. This is the strange thing to stand there and talk to somebody whose mind is disagreeing with you, but their heart is embracing everything you say. That's the conflict they're going through because their heart knows the gospel. Because the prophet said that no one would need anybody to come and say, come know the Lord. That all would know him from the least to the greatest. So all of those people already know the Lord in the freedom of the gospel. But their heart knows it and their brain has been trained to believe a religion. And many years ago, I coined this statement, and many others have used it, which is really great. But whenever your heart is kinder than your doctrine, please don't ever suspect that there's something wrong with your heart. Suspect there's something wrong with your doctrine.
Right.
I mean, if something comes to your heart and says, you know, my goodness, if I was God, I just don't know. I could cast somebody into hell forever for believing. And I don't know if I even Hitler that I could burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I might want to, you know, toast him for a little while. But even I would not want that. When your heart is kinder than your doctrine, please understand, there is something wrong with your doctrine. And when we start there, Glenn, then the whole world can open up to you.
Right.
All you have to do, and I'm telling you, I don't care what anybody believes. I could tell anybody, always follow your heart and not your doctrine. And tell them and say, when your heart is kinder than your doctrine, change your mind and follow your heart. You know where they would wind up? They'd wind up exactly where you and I are, in the gospel, believing in the absolute grace of God, the redemption of the world, the equality of the human race on a plane of righteousness that no man ever attained to under the law, and that has raised us up and given us a seat in heavenly places in righteousness equal with that of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And he is equal with that with God. There's not a shadow of distance between us. There's no getting closer to God. There's nothing you can do to get away from Him. You are one with God. And if we could just appeal to people that when it comes to what you think about God, if your heart is kinder than your doctrine, follow your heart. Because people for centuries now, Glenn, have forced their heart, which is kinder than their doctrine, to conform to their doctrine. And it's such a tragedy, because we have people who are just by nature kind, and they become mean, and who are just by nature giving, and they become stingy, who just by nature are open, and they become closed and cloistered and separated and sectarian and become narrow in their thinking.
And weird.
And absolutely weird. And they know they're weird, and they don't want to be weird. So here we are, sending out the voice. We were weird, you're weird, come on, stop being weird. You know, there's a place of joy and peace where you don't have to walk around in guilt, and you don't have to go around judging everybody.
You know,
and the judgment has already taken place, so why should we be doing it?
I was watching a program with a guy named Jonathan Bernis, who is a Jewish guy. And he had Jack Hayford on, who has a large church in Los Angeles, California area. And they were talking about support of Israel. They were talking about the Bible, and they were talking about prophecy. And Jack Hayford, he's up there. I mean, he's got to be in his 70s. And he said that he has given up on trying to interpret prophecy because, you know, he has to be, he's being somewhat intellectually honest by saying all of our predictions have been wrong so far. And he said that with regard to prophecy, he doesn't mind people having different positions on it. But he said that we'll find out how prophecy is fulfilled after it's fulfilled. He said the one prophecy we do know is that there's a heaven and a hell prophesied in the Bible. So he was willing. He's going in the right direction. He's saying, well, now, wait a second. You know, we have to be honest and say we just have misread some of these things. Remember when the Soviet Union was the so-called bear to the north that was prophesied? Of course, that thing crumbled, so they had to rewrite that. So many of these things with Israel. Remember, Israel was established in 1948, and so a generation, because this generation shall not pass away, Michael. So once 40 years went by, then they had to have it be the reuniting of Jerusalem, which happened in 1967 in the Six-Day War. And then when 40 years went by on that, they said, well, it was when 1980 when Israel annexed East Jerusalem and united the city. Well, we're coming up to 40 years on that one. And so,
yeah, and then they changed it and said, no, it's based on the Jewish calendar. And based on the Jewish, but based on the Jewish calendar... We are about 50 years behind. So
the point is that the thought that our interpretation of the biblical so-called prophecies may be misconstrued, it doesn't take a lot further to go and say our interpretation of the heaven and hell was wrong too. Except if he does, he's got 10,000 people in his church, does Jack Hayford, and he knows... based on what's happened to men like Carlton Pearson and to Michael Williams, what's going to happen if he would ever completely bail and jump ship into the good ship gospel, if you will.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, yeah. Fascinating stuff. 1-800-436-3260, by the way, is the toll-free number. Give us a call tonight. We'd love to hear your comments and your questions. Whether you've called this broadcast before or not, we definitely want to hear from you. Who will be the first to call tonight at 1-800-436-3260? Get in early, because we will hopefully be hearing from Rory on line two, as well as John Adair from the Freedom Worship Center. He's got some interesting information for us. But let's get into the emails, Michael, shall we?
Sure, let's go for it.
Have you ever heard of...
It's email time.
Have you ever heard of Fredericton, New Brunswick?
No.
All right. Well, this comes from Tom in Fredericton, New Brunswick. He says, Mike, why are teens bent on disobedience? Is it a sign of the times? Are we parents reaping what we have sown? Is it because we don't have a revelation of righteousness and they and we don't love ourselves? Why do you think, Michael, that teenagers are disobedient?
Because they're teenagers.
You know, I'll tell you one thing, Tom. This we know, and they've done studies on this. Teenagers' brains don't work right. Their brains are literally misfiring because of puberty and what's happening to their hormones. This is why teenagers sleep so much, because they have to get rest. And then, Michael, when you add legalism to their lives, and you tell them that you cannot smoke, drink, or chew, or hang around with girls that do, when you tell them that you can't have sex unless you're married, and that's all they're thinking about when they're teenagers, and by the way, you can't have dirty thoughts either, they're going to naturally rebel from this, stuff like that.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
So you
the thing of it is, and if they're teenagers, number one, and you just have to realize that teenagers have to grow up. They are not grown up. Why would we expect them to act like grown-ups when most grown-ups don't act
exactly,
like grown-ups?
Exactly.
And why do most grown-ups, I'm more concerned about why most grown-ups don't act like grown-ups than I am with why do children act like children and why teenagers act like teenagers. But certainly, it doesn't make any difference what stage of life you're in. Even toddlers, under legalism, will go nuts. They will go nuts. They will absolutely go nuts under legalism. A teenager will go nuts under legalism. I mean, being a toddler is bad enough. But then you put the parent who doesn't know that child has to experience things. Then you put the parent on the teenager that doesn't know that child has to experience things. Then you put the restrictions on the adult that knows that adults have to be adults. And they have to take responsibility for their own life. They can't live under liability to a God they can't measure up to. This is the thing, is that this liability to God and liability to God, whether you are an infant, whether you're a toddler, whether you are a teenager, or whether you are a young adult raising kids and trying to deal with toddlers and teenagers, or you're an old man. This idea of living under liability to God, I have listened to 80-year-old men dying, suffering, wondering what they were going to be facing when they lived this life. And it's like, how in the world could we come to the end of life like this? And these are Pentecostal people. And, you know, the ones who are most fearful at the end of their life are people of extremes of the Christian spectrum, such as in the Pentecostal movement. Man, they can go, some of them, not all of them, can go to their grave in absolute torment wondering whether or not they're going to be cast in outer darkness or whether or not they're going to be greeted. Is Jesus going to say, well done? Or is he going to say, well done, and cast them into the lake of fire? You know, they know he's going to say, well done. They just don't know which way they're going.
That's an oldie but a goodie right there.
Yeah.
1-800-436-3260. We've got Ron that's holding. I want to get one more point. We have, Michael, the issue of do we reap what we sow? And there is a level of that, but it's got nothing to do with your place in God. It has nothing to do with our righteous standing. But yes, obviously, you know, so much of our behavior comes back to haunt us, and it's the wise person that recognizes that, and the person with a good sense of humor that can laugh about it and recognize it. And when you do acknowledge those kind of things, Michael, and are honest about them, they have less of an impact or less power over you. This is just a general good life principle, ladies and gentlemen. So, Tom, yeah, I think there is some of that. But listen, teenagers have been disobedient since Jesus was a teenager, because remember, Jesus did not hang with his parents.
Even he was disobedient.
They had to go back and get him in Jerusalem. Remember that?
He left. Naughty boy.
He left the scene. Or the side of his
13 years old.
Yeah.
Can you believe
that? That's disobedient right there. 1-800-436-3260. If you call and the number's busy, just listen online, and when we're off with our next caller, then it will be your turn. And we want to go to Ron, who's calling us somewhere from the West Coast. Ron, where in the West Coast are you?
The Goshen, Glenn.
Where?
Near the Pacific Ocean?
Yeah, well, I didn't think it was the West Coast of Florida, although it could have been. Would you like to be more specific?
No, because I want to talk about something that I want to be real incognito about.
Okay.
First of all, I'm not sure, but I've heard you mention that Hitler had the trains run on time. I think that was Mussolini, and Hitler admired him for it. But I haven't checked online. And Mike said that we could go about Confucius talking, I think the woman doth protest too much. I think that was Shakespeare. Anyway.
Why, who do you think it was?
Shakespeare, I thought. I haven't looked online to check it out, but
I've always heard Confucius say, I think he protested
Mike,
too much.
Thanks so much for sharing what the Holy Spirit has taught you. It's just brought freedom to my life so much for many years.
Wonderful.
I have a dilemma right now, and you guys have brought this topic up, the topic of suicide, and I know you've given your disclaimers, and it's usually brought up in a sense where the gospel has freed somebody and taken them from that. Now, let's take homosexuality and how the church looks at it, because that's our main topic too. If you look at suicide the same way, are there people, do you think, that is their makeup?
As far as those that commit suicide?
There's psychological makeup.
Let's see, in this world, I think in 2006, twice as many people committed suicide as there were murders in the U.S. I've got about 8 suicides on one side of my family, all men.
Wow.
And it seems to be something that, can that be something that is in somebody, just like something that they wouldn't choose? I mean,
as far as the science is in, if there are people who are predisposed to that in some way, the number of people who, and I'll be just very upfront with you, we've had a lot of people who have been very suicidal, and when they heard the gospel, they committed suicide. However, I also will be honest with you and tell you that there have been people who heard the gospel and they went ahead and committed suicide. The difference was, in those situations, especially where the people went ahead and did commit suicide because of the absolute torment, whether or not the gospel reached it, or there was this, they were just damaged beyond repair, or that there was just such a strong predisposition to this that there was nothing going to intervene, I don't know. But I am sure that there are people who have dealt with suicidal thoughts. I don't know that that a person would be born with that predisposition.
Well, we know this, Michael. For example, the people that suffer from bipolar disorder, Ron, 30%, and I am also familiar with this particular disorder, 30% of those people don't just try to commit suicide. They actually do it. 30%. It's a huge number. There's been 8 million people reported in this country that have been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. So that alone. But I would really hesitate to equate somebody who is, even if they are genetically predisposed to suicide, to homosexuality. Because obviously suicide leaves a horrible wake, and you're all too familiar with that. And
you mentioned that once before, Glenn, when you said, think about the people that you hurt. But I'm sure that Mike hurt some people when he decided to be who he was in his own family, people that he loved. He probably didn't want to hurt them, so he didn't want to, return to the lifestyle or whatever. I would think that whenever we do what our heart is maybe leading us to do, is going to hurt somebody. I would say.
Let me give you a response to that, Ron. Something I've experienced. Even though if you be who you are is important for everybody, for you to be who you are.
Right.
Regardless of what that is, you must
exactly.
be who you are. But see, I don't think that there's creative junk out here. I believe that there's a lot of us that have, and that someone, I don't think that suicide, and this is just an opinion, please, I don't believe that suicide is a disorder. I think that it is the result of either a disorder, a mental or emotional condition, or society's view of someone because of what they might particularly be. I know that the highest suicide rate in this country amongst teens are gay people. That has dropped. I'm so glad to tell you that has dropped drastically since 2000 because there's so much more, they don't have to go through as much in coming to terms with their sexuality in their teenage years.
Uh-huh.
So that suicide rate has dropped. It has certainly not dropped altogether because the abuse, you know, still continues. It's like saying that racism has been dealt with in our lives and minds and in this country, and it hasn't. And, of course, prejudice against the gay community has been.
I guess the question would be, and I know that you can't answer this, or maybe you can, but is it possible that God would create somebody for that purpose, I mean, for that end? In this life,
it's not in my mind or heart to think that that would be.
But it is in mine, Ron. And
it is in what?
It is in mine. And Michael and I have talked about this, that our differing views. Michael is of the mindset that no, God wouldn't, and I'm saying that it's my mindset that it is possible. Why? I have absolutely no idea.
I could tell you so many instances where my heart has told me that is questioned beyond things.
But here's the thing that is so important, Ron, is that regardless of whether God does not permit that or is not involved in that or he is, it doesn't change those people who are tempted and who go through with suicide. It doesn't change the people who are involved in their lives at all vis-a-vis the way that God views them. They are, you understand that, right?
I understand that, okay. Right. That's, it's my problem is I think that's what he keeps leading me into. And it's against, of course, what everybody else would say. And so it's the hardest thing for me to believe but there just doesn't seem to be, my attempt to, you know, to fit into society or to enjoy life in these ways. It always seems to be, it never seems to come to fruition, and the bottom line is that I think that I've been putting this thing off.
Well, I remember we talked earlier about the reunification of Jerusalem by Israel in 1980.
Right.
And at the time, the Prime Minister of Israel was a guy named Menachem Begin. He's the guy that signed the peace treaty with Sadat and Carter back in the 70s. And he asked the question at the official ceremony overlooking the old city of Jerusalem. He said, where was our God when 6 million of us and so many other millions of people perished during World War II? And he answered his own question this way. He said, he's the same God that is here today to see this reunification of the city of David. So the question is unanswerable. We can have our viewpoints, we can have our perspectives, but Michael, it's so important for people to know that regardless where one stands on that issue, it has no bearing at all on our righteous standing in Christ.
Right. God's view of me.
I think it's what Ron is, saying, and now he's faced with reality. And that is this proclivity towards suicide that he or anyone else might deal with. And the one thing with suicide, though, is it is the final word about this life. Yeah, that's sure.
That's the path that you don't return from.
Right.
You don't walk back through it again. And I, as one who I attempted suicide 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very grateful I was unsuccessful, Ron.
And you know, Ron, it's like with any other tragedy or heinous act. You know, suicide is just another one in a long list of human suffering that we experience.
Well, then you see, now you've judged it as being heinous and being, what was the other one? I mean, you were saying those things about homosexuality 10 years ago. So that's what I mean, remember, Mike, one of your things you were talking about, we, you know, it's like that Billy Joel song, we all got to get a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
But when this stuff started, you know, I read every book, I've seen psychiatrists. And so finally I said, gee, I'm not happy because I'm trying to change myself. I have to accept that I'm just a little crazy in these things. And then my heart said, what about suicide? And oh, no, I can't be that crazy. There's just no way. And it's just a repetition that's been there since I was maybe, well, started at 8 years old and I didn't even know it. And I just, you know, I'll suffer through what it takes if that isn't something that could be. But even when you see these whales and dolphins that beach themselves, and there's no reason, and I just wonder if they've checked the DNA, if they have the same, if they have some kind of relation to each other, and it's just something that is in nature.
Is this something, Ron, that you are faced with on a regular basis?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just all I can do to just keep holding off, thinking that it's gonna. And one of the things is, it's like I feel like I'm being not being true to myself.
What would you say?
I mean,
what would
I
you
feel
say?
That my heart told me our purpose, your purpose, Glenn, my everybody's purpose here on earth is to find out who they are, and of course who they are in Jesus, and then to be that person, to be happy, no matter what, you know, free from other people's opinion, like you said, Mike, our opinion of ourselves, even.
And what would you say to Ron, Michael, given this set of facts?
Well, first off, is that I would never portray you as defective in any way. But the I think for me, because I have faced the same thing, Ron, that you have for a large portion of my life, and I think the difference for me is that the finality of death. It doesn't mean there's no hope. Obviously, there's hope on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
But
I mean, if you believe the gospel, you're going to be, I think, instantly in some, you know, in his presence.
Yes.
Even though
whatever that is, it's,
right,
it's
that
going
is.
To be there for you as much as it is anybody else, for sure. And of course, I would want to know that, you know, that you've sought, you know, any type of help just from, you know, a chemical imbalance that might, I mean, do you deal with depression, or is it just
depression is what I was, the clinical depression is what I was diagnosed with.
You were diagnosed with clinical depression.
Good psychiatrist, and I've been on many medications.
And again, I believe that the suicide is a symptom of the depression. And, I don't believe that that's who you are, Ron. I think that suicide is a symptom. It's kind of like looking at, you know, like if you had, you know, the manifestation of some other disease. I don't
think. Let's say my arm hurt and it's laying on the stove. The arm hurting, the suicide is the indication that there's something.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that. Because all I can do is relate to you based on where I've been. And I was not suicidal unless I was depressed. So
yeah.
I see suicide very clearly as a...
I don't have any social... I mean, I have nothing... I'm like a golden boy. My life has been great. It is great. I'm accepted. I'm like respected and all those things. So I have no reason.
No, it's a manifestation. It's just like if you had hay fever, Ron, and you were sneezing. I mean, it's just, I've never attempted suicide, but I certainly have been tempted with it a lot. And I know that when those thoughts come, and they do come, that it's a manifestation of the depression.
It's not... It's not the Holy Spirit.
Well, I, you know, Here's what I have to say, and you've got my phone number is on the website, Ron, that you can call me anytime.
Yeah, I don't want to take up the whole.
No, but that's not what I'm saying. Although we do need to move on, but I want you to know that phone number that is on my website at the GlennKleinOnline.com website goes right to my cell phone.
Okay.
And if you ever just want to talk, I will say this though, that regardless of what one is facing, and I know we can say this consistently because we do all the time, that no matter what, and I like how you said, you know, you just have to accept yourself for who you are as a bit crazy, and Michael and I can relate to that very well. But know this, no matter what choice you make, no matter what decision you make about anything in life, that you're good to go with God. And try to marinate in those thoughts. Try to come back to that. Because what ends up happening, regardless of what a person does in their lives, what we have witnessed and observed is that a stabilizing factor comes into one's heart and mind when the gospel is meditated upon and talked about. And there's lots of opportunities to listen to archive shows of this on the website. But don't hesitate to give me a call. And if you get my voicemail, you know, I will return the call promptly.
All right.
Yeah, we're not done with you yet.
we're going to make you stay around just for us. So.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right. Good night.
And Mike?
Yeah.
I live near Carlsgood.
Yeah.
That was a joke you made once.
Oh, okay.
It's Carlsbad, California.
Okay. In California, you never know. There could be a Carlsgood and a Carlsbad.
Yeah, so you got I've that good-bad mentality.
Deuteronomy, there ought to be a Deuteronomy, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, and Ron, John Adair is just emailing us. When you hang up, we're going to have John Adair, who's the pastor at Mike's Church at the Freedom Worship Center in Houston, and he wants to talk about suicide as well. So are you by a computer?
Yeah.
Okay, so stay listening and or listen to the archive later if you can't listen right now, and maybe John will have some more insight as well.
All right. Hey, thanks, Glenn.
All right, my man.
Thanks, Ron.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, that's where it gets down to the nitty-gritty, ladies and gentlemen.
That's real stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's life. And we do not shy away from dealing with life. It's life. That's.
Well, can you imagine that someone who is entertaining the thought this might be actually the Holy Spirit speaking to him, that he would have the freedom to call and discuss that
right
with somebody? I mean, you know, if there's any way for this to be resolved for Ron, it's being able to talk about the way he actually feels and the way he actually views things is the first step. And I'm very grateful that he called. And you can follow up and also make sure that you and John both make sure that he gets my number also.
All right.
I'd be glad to talk anytime.
Yeah, the only way we'll be able to do that, Ron, is if you either email us or call us offline on the cell number. But we definitely want to be hearing from you again, and as Michael said, you know, we're not done with you, and so
right.
Just hang in there because we want to get to know you a bit more before it's over. We've got another caller online, but we're going to try to open that line up, Michael, so that John can call in from Houston. And Michael, of course, is in Houston. I'm in Tampa. This is Glenn Klein online, and you know, you brought up a good point about being able and feeling free, because if you'd call most, any Christian show, and most shows that would deal with this thing, there would be an immediate response to no, this cannot be possible. But we're in a situation here where, you know, we have to examine these things from a gospel perspective. And I think, Michael, in fact, I know, that when one contemplates any kind of behavior, however anybody would characterize that behavior, that when the gospel is brought alongside with that thought, it's going to have that stabilizing effect. And then you can make your decision with in mind that no matter what you do, God is not going to be pissed off at you.
Well, you know, the road to help in my life has never been somebody showing up with a contrary opinion when I've been in a desperate situation. It's always been somebody who's been willing to look at it my way and let me look at it my way and help me look at it my way until I come to my own conclusions, which are probably going to be the most beneficial to me. I believe Ron's heart will produce the right answers for himself. And I don't believe that that's going to be suicide. I know that Ron still is there where that he thinks that this might be the natural outcome of this. But the thing of it is to stand and say, no, you're wrong, I'm right, is certainly not going to help Ron. And it's not going to help anybody, no matter where they're standing in life. Most of us just need somebody to come alongside with us. And, you know, that's the description that we get from the New Testament about the Holy Spirit, is that he's one that comes alongside, you know, and walks with us. Doesn't come, you know, contradicting and smacking us down and opposing us. But he's there to walk through, you know, and to help us and to help our hearts arrive at conclusions. That will be, and I really do believe this, that the only way that that could be the right thing for Ron is if it's the best thing for everybody around him. Because I truly believe that when you are truly yourself, that it is always the best thing for everybody around you to truly be yourself.
Yeah. And I thought Ron picked up on my characterizing suicide as heinous and along with so many other tragedies of humanity. And he is questioning, just like, I mean, he was honest to say that we used to say that homosexuality was heinous,
right,
and now we're not. Right. So, yeah, and so we're open, believe me, right, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I think what you're referring to as heinous is the torment that goes along. I mean, you can't have suicidal thoughts and that it come from a content and happy place.
Well, I would agree with that, absolutely, but people could say the same thing about homosexual thoughts. For people that either are tempted with a gay perspective.
As you said earlier, comparing suicide and homosexuality is not really a comparison.
No, that's that, of course. But I appreciate what Ron is trying to do.
Yeah.
And just stay in touch, brother. I mean, really,
please
let us hear from you on the number which is 813-363-9545. Goes literally right into my cell number, 813-363-9545. We're happy to hear from you, and we're happy to hear from anyone who needs to talk and have some counsel, if you will. And we do have John, or we do not have John. All right, well, John's going to be calling back. Believe it or not, Michael, we're waiting for John to chime in on this issue, and he wants to, and he'll have some very insightful thoughts. We've had other couple callers, but we want to get to this. This is kind of a critical issue in our opinion, so we're going to get to that, and then we may even go over a few minutes tonight, folks, so stay with us here on Glenn Klein Online. So let's bring John Adair now, the pastor of the Freedom Worship Center, on from Houston, Texas. Hello, Johnny.
Hi, Glenn.
How are you tonight?
Hi, Michael. I'm doing
John,
well.
I saw you a little while ago.
We saw and walked and talked. And
I know. I was in your office. You were in my office?
Yes, going back and forth with service programs and everything else. Good stuff going on, yeah.
But given Ron's call, John, and you, with your email saying that you want to address suicide, we've got other callers calling in, we've got more emails, so we want to talk about...
I'll make it short and sweet.
Well, it's that, but there's also you wanted to talk about this ministry opportunity,
yeah.
But let's hold off on that till next week. And what is your take? Obviously, you were listening to this whole issue of suicide and vis-a-vis could it be from God, and what do you make of all that?
Well, I'll say it like this. God doesn't need you to be taken out. God, if God wants to take you out, he will take you out. There is not, God does not need us to be bring us into this world, and he does not need us to get born again. He does not need us to get us saved, and he doesn't need us to get taken out.
Yeah. Don't need to be born in or born out, either one, do they?
That's right. You know, you're on a wave, ride the surfboard, enjoy the sights, but this world is not going to be pleasurable. You make it as pleasurable as you can or enjoy what you can about it, but bottom line, God has us here, not for me. He doesn't have me here to teach me something.
Yeah, that's right.
And he doesn't have me here in order to endure something or to learn something or to go through something before I can be with him fully and wholly. That's not so. He has me here because someone else needs me. Someone else in this world is not seeing him as well as I do and would have a tougher time in this life, on this earth, without me being able, or Michael, or Glenn, or Ron, being able to just give him that smile, give him that hug, let him know that someone cares deeper for them than they do themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, August 2nd, 1986, I took 3 bottles of Excedrin PM with a bottle of booze, sat in the front seat of my car, and 4 hours later woke up knowing I should have been dead.
How many bottles?
3 bottles of Excedrin PM.
Like large bottles?
Well, I don't know. What's a large bottle?
I don't know. Well, I mean, you know, they make little bottles of like of 8 tablets, but I mean, they, you know, you can.
No. These were, you know, 20 tablets each.
So you took 60 Tylenol PM,
right,
and a bottle of booze, and you woke
right.
up.
Right. 4 hours later, and that's when I realized that God had a plan for me. I knew he spared my life. I knew it. And I can distinctly remember before I passed out in the front seat of my car in this grocery store parking lot at 2 in the morning, or when I finally passed out, I think it was 4 in the morning, thereabouts, I remember hearing the voices in my head, do it, don't do it, do it, don't do it, do it, don't do it, and the battle going back and forth. But I know where my heart was, and it was hopeless. It was hopeless. It was helpless. I didn't see any purpose for me. I saw no purpose for me or any way out of what I was feeling. And that's why I did what I did. I saw no way out. Now, no matter what I was feeling, didn't make it truth. No matter what I was thinking, didn't make it correct. And that began my journey that I had experienced several years earlier about a love relationship with God, because I knew I should have been taken out. Now, I'll fast forward several years and say there was a time my brother was going through something similar, and I could not explain to him yet the gospel. I didn't have it articulated yet. I knew it in my heart, and I tried the best I could to get it across to him, but his Pentecostal roots and his charismatic roots were too big a hurdle for me to climb. And this is going to open up a can of worms here in itself, but I do know God's voice. I have heard God's voice. When he does speak to me to where I know it's his voice, I know it's him. I used to think that I was the only one that heard God's audible voice in my head or whatever, until other people in the room heard it at the same time I did. So I knew it wasn't just in my head any longer. But the point was, he told me, tell your brother I'm going to take him home. Get his house in order, I'm going to take him home. So I told him that. Now that whole year, my brother says, I wish God would just take me home. I just wish he'd take me home. Because he was in such chaos and confusion in his mind, solely out of religious roots. And so I told him that. 2 weeks later, 36 years old, my brother died of a massive heart attack, washing his car. Boom, gone. God doesn't need you, doesn't need your help to be taken out.
Okay, but it begs the question, and we are going to go over time because we want to hear from Rory tonight yet. We've got folks that are going to be meeting with Mike on Sunday. So I'm just giving everybody a heads up. You talked about the reason that God has us here, because we are to impact other people's lives in a way that nobody else can. But when God does take somebody out, couldn't it be argued or at least thought that those people that were taken out prematurely, that the place that they were supposed to have in our lives cannot be replaced by somebody else?
Absolutely. Sure, of course you can. You make do if you cut off your hand or if you lose an arm. You make do to make that happen. It's not the best case scenario. So yes, I think it's possible that someone else or somewhere along the line that can be done. And I also want to say that I don't believe that anyone that commits suicide is eternally condemned or damned either. I think they're absent from the body, present of the Lord. I think they're right in their Father's loving arms. But again, what's the point? We're in eternal life now. Right here, right now. He's not having you here to suffer, to be taught, to be anything. And to be able to enjoy what he has for you by touching someone else. That is the love of God coming through you. And that's the only reason I stay here, is to see others enjoy in knowing God loves them with a meaningful, purposeful, aimful love.
I must be getting old. I think I've decided just to stay here to irritate people.
Now, I know that's not true, Michael.
Yeah.
I know that's not true.
Thank God that wasn't a sin, Michael.
Yeah.
All right, John. Thank you very much.
All right.
Appreciate your insight. Love you. Have a good
night.
All right, there's John Adair, gentlemen, ladies, and with some thoughts. Yeah, he likes to make us think. And that's not to say that we don't suffer and we don't learn things in this life. John just is making the statement that that's not the higher purpose. All right, we're going to get Rory on the line here in the last minutes. We're going to call back the folks in Indiana. And we've got a question, Michael, from Dina in Noblesville, Indiana. And we're going to hold off, Dina, on that question because it's going to take a few minutes at least to discuss it. So log on next week or on the archive, and we'll get to Dina's question from Noblesville, Indiana next week. We're going to get Rory Napton online here. And Rory, of course, is the drummer and the spokesman of Midnight Clear, who the voting is over for the Battle of the Bands on CBS. You heard Rory the last couple of weeks, and he made a challenge to our gospel revolutionary types to vote for his band. And you heard Rory's heart last week when we had thought that they had messed up they had messed up the airing of his band and had put on a 13-year-old satanic band instead. And CBS saying it was the biggest blunder ever that they can remember. And but they still won. Midnight Clear still won. So they were on this Monday morning against two other bands. This was for the finals. This has been going on for 13 weeks, ladies and gentlemen. And now let's bring on Rory Napton from the beautiful
Hello.
State of Georgia. Hey, Rory.
Hey, Glenn and Michael, you still there?
Good evening, Roy.
Hey, Michael, you made headlines today.
Oh, I did?
Well, I think so. I had a call from the newspaper this morning, and the first thing they said, Roy, tell us about some of the voters. And I said, well, I actually have a minister who called and who was voting, and he said, how does it feel to have all your friends give you the finger? And he said, really? Yes. I said, it's done with the gospel revolution. And I said, but of course, he has a great sense of humor. So if
always
people out there really don't know.
GospelRevolution.com, okay?
Right. And so anyway, they it was really, really funny. But I want to tell you all the good news, but I couldn't help but listen to what's been going on with the people, you know, just so burdened to suicide, there's probably hardly a day goes by that I don't get a call from somebody with this. And I went to my grandson's first birthday party this evening, and my daughter is gay, and she's a professor at a college in Georgia. And she's very, very happy now. And I saw a young gay gentleman whose life is really solvent that I spoke to him 8 years ago about the gospel. And when he finally understood it, I've never had this happen before, but right when he understood what I was trying to tell him, that a tear jumped across the desk, out of his eye, straight out forward, and hit me on the forehead. I've never had that happen before.
You sure that was a tear, Rory, and not like some spittle?
It may have been. Who knows? But
it's a better story if it's a tear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but an interesting thing is, and I don't know how to put this to words real well, but it's a feeling I had that that in the Old Testament, man, and this is what I try to tell people, is that man was part of the equation in the first covenant. The agreement was with God, and was between God and man, and we hopelessly failed, and because we were in the equation. And somehow when I tell people about the gospel, that if we can take ourselves out of the equation and look to things outside of ourselves somehow, and know there's a bigger picture, and take us out of the equation, that we have hope to move forward. Even simple things, do something for someone else, quit looking at ourselves as the equation, but to something greater and bigger. Because when we focus strictly on ourselves as the thing in the equation, bottom line, is that often we can't rise above it. But anyway, concerning the voting, I have to thank everybody. We've got a nice check going off to Michael. Yay, we had so many people vote. But we had calls from all over the world because of the gospel revolution. I say calls, emails. We had emails from India. I don't know if you know if anybody's listening from India, but we had someone, we don't know how, it had to come from the gospel revolution.
Yeah, we did.
The Glenn Kline Show, because it was from India. We had emails from the UK, emails from British Columbia, I believe it was. Places around the world that I didn't even know were places, people voting for my band.
That's great. And then you guys set up like a whole little war room yourselves. And been voting away. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you could vote as many times as you wanted. And we find out about this tomorrow morning, just before 9 o'clock Eastern time. And is that how you find out, Rory? You just got to watch the show? Is that how it's been?
That's it.
Wow.
You have to watch. And
oh my goodness.
We had people, I mean, calling from all over people. It actually helped my family get back together. Literally thousands of people were voting, the best we can tell. And we'd be really surprised if we don't win. And I really take my hat off to another band because we had, I don't know. It's
you guys had
basically. I'm just one of you out there listening. I'm someone who is there, enjoying life and doing what was in my heart from when I was a young child of 3 years old, because I gained confidence in myself once I understood that no matter what my feelings are about God, His feelings remain the same about me.
Amen.
And and I'm able to, at this late hour in my life, at 57, for God's sake, trying to make it at music, that it's all these things are just happening with this contest, and we'll know tomorrow morning. And I've been up all night, so if this isn't making sense,
no, you're doing pretty good. But I was wondering, Rory, how you're going to sleep tonight. That's how.
Well, Michael called me. I'm so glad he did last night. I didn't tell him this. I mean, I never take sleeping pills, but I did take a Klonopin, and I had so I can go to sleep. And right then Michael called, and I was those of you who know Michael's voice, it's quite addicting, and it's just one of those things that no matter what is burdening Michael, which he has so many heavy burdens as all of us, it's still a soothing thing for our souls. And I think some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And it's, you know, when he talked, I had no idea what I was saying, but I did not want to get off the line. You know, and I missed the second call that he had, and I was thinking a neighbor's house or going around the clock. But this little band from the North Georgia Mountains, it's, you know, it's with the help of the Glenn Klein people and Mike Williams' emails. Michael told me he was voting, and then we got I got a message from him saying, "Roy, I'm a little bit bored, and let's are you there to talk?" And I said, or something like that, not to talk, but and I wanted to call him right back, and then the computer crashed, and I went over, you know, and things started to happen. I was kind of being the tech, but tomorrow morning, if anybody's awake, or you'll find out between 8:30 and 9 on the CBS early show. Well, they're going to
find out. So has the voting closed, or can we get back online and start clicking again?
No, the voting closed at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
So that is over, and we'll know what the verdict tomorrow morning. And if we happen to win it, then somehow they sort it out where we actually play the following Monday. Also, if we were to play, Kenny Chesney is also on the show.
Nice.
So it's going to be kind of an outside stage. And I just wanted to thank all the people, because even if for some reason we don't win, just to get as far as we've gotten, something good's going to come out of it, and it's not going to be a dead end, because, you know, back when we were under the law, we just wanted God to use us, you know, so many ways. And I think people that are still under the law have a sincere a desire so much for God to use them, they just don't know where to go or what to do.
Well, the ironic thing is that they think they're under the law, but they're not even under the law.
They're not even under the law. That's correct.
Yes. Yeah.
I have no battles with the churches out there. You know, it's just, you know, or organizations, because they're not under the law. It's, you know, we don't have to say a thing, you know, or tell anybody, because they're going to have the same redemption. They're covered by the blood like everybody is, for God's sake. You know, it's just, you know, we just do it because, hey, you know, we've got a breath to do it, and they want to hear. You know, it's you know, I love those people in those churches, you know?
Amen.
I don't have any battles, you know, or wars against organizations, you know, I just love them. I wish they could, just learn to be, just to really, really get the fullness of God's love, and how powerful, you know, what happened at the cross is. And it's,
absolutely.
And,
now, Rory, we're going to, it is in our plans. We've not set the date yet, but John and I and Glenn and all the people in the Gospel Revolution down in this area, we are a Houston worldwide gathering. And I haven't spoken to you or anybody else about it, but we'd love to have you and Midnight Clear down here.
Yeah, you know any good bands that could come down and play, Rory?
Hey, wait a minute. I can. I don't mind auditioning.
All right. Well, we'll have our own battle of the bands for the Houston Grace Gathering, and we'd love to include you guys in that. And
gosh, I mean that would be just too much of an honor. I mean, really, how fun would that be? You know.
Oh, amazing.
I mean that to me, you know, all due respect to CBS, in playing on that show, what I'd look forward to is playing down there in Houston. You know, Houston is actually, Austin actually, they have this huge thing, it's called South by Southwest. It's really difficult for a band to get into. But Texas is where all the labels and everybody look at a band.
All right, Roy, we got to go. We're going to be watching tomorrow morning, so good luck.
Yeah, I'm rambling here, but love to everybody.
Go get some sleep. Take another pill.
And,
go to bed.
Thank everybody out there so much. Love to you, Glenn. Love to you, Michael. And And listen, this onward and upward is all I can say.
All right. Thanks, Rory.
Bless you, Rory.
Sleep well, brother. Take a pill. He's a little excited, and it's so awesome. And, you know,
yeah, he should be. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in just before 9 o'clock at about 10 to 9, quarter to 9, and find out if all of their efforts and all of our efforts proved out to be totally successful on CBS's early show tomorrow morning. All right, we're going to get one more call on here. This is coming in from PJ from beautiful Muncie, Indiana. And PJ is going to be at the Cliff Hazelbaker get-together on this Sunday night already. Hey, PJ. PJ.
How you doing?
Thanks for your patience. And PJ also, Michael, made a contribution. He said even though the summer pledge drive is over, he made a $100 contribution.
Awesome.
And so thanks, PJ, for that. And now, you were not at the Grace Gathering, Indiana, earlier this summer.
I was not. I was in the middle of moving my family back to Muncie from Indianapolis, and it ended up dropping on a weekend where I just wasn't able to make it. So I'm hoping to make it up there this Sunday.
And
we're coming back just for you.
Great.
You're that kind of person. That's what I've heard.
That's going to be at Cliff Hazelbaker's this Sunday afternoon at 3:30. And
absolutely.
And so Cliff encourages everybody to bring some beverage of their choice and something to snack on. You're going to have some time with Michael and then some teaching to follow. Cliff is in Richmond, Indiana, ladies and gentlemen, and all the information is on the gospelrevolution.com website, as well as the meeting that's coming up next Tuesday in Johnston City, Illinois, with Steve Essayer. And then we've got also meetings listed in Wisconsin coming up in November, which is preceded by the Calgary meeting. So, Michael, your itinerary has filled up nicely.
Yes, it has. It's and it can get busier. So don't think I'm too busy to come to your town.
And many of these meetings will be in people's homes, ladies and gentlemen.
We have a blast.
Yeah.
It's just fun. I mean, it doesn't. You know, I'm to the point now to where I almost prefer meeting in somebody's home.
So, PJ, how'd you come across the gospel and your association with Cliff?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been an interesting journey. It's been about 2 years for me, and you know, a lot was going on in my life, but I've got, you know, it comes down to my kids. You know, I just got to the point where I was bawling my eyes out, you know, when I'd sit down and think, oh, my God, how much of a chance do my kids have of burning in hell, you know?
What do you have? How many kids do you have?
Two.
And what are they?
Two kids. They're both adoptive. I got a 3.5-year-old boy and a 6-year-old girl that we adopted from Kazakhstan.
That's awesome.
And, you know, my wife and I went through trying to have a family. We you know, had some pretty big trials in our life there, and you know, it got to the point where we just wanted to have a family. And so you adopt these kids and you love them to death, you know, and you know under religion, you're just the weight of trying to raise your kids to believe the right thing is just ungodly. I mean, I couldn't take
that's
it,
exactly,
you know?
A good way to describe it. It's exactly right. It's ungodly.
Yeah. And I started really searching, and I tell you, the catalyst for me was I was watching TLC, The Messengers. I don't know if anybody watched that, but a fellow named Robert Rutherford got on there, and he just came across, you know, as he struck me because, of course, you know, my mentality was, hey, he's a Christian, he, you know, go Christian, you know. And so I got to doing some research on this guy and found his website. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Robert Rutherford. But so I found his website, and, you know, the first thing I found on his website was, you know, believing in Christ isn't the way to escape God's eternal wrath. Mm. And, of course, like a teenager reading a Playboy magazine, I couldn't take my eyes off of it. And
what do you mean a teenager
it sucked me in. I started reading, and it's just been a journey from then on. I mean, a lot of what I've found, you know, just it's brought me to life, absolute life. I mean, it's night and day difference between what life was and what it is now. And it makes you look at everybody and everything in such a new and bright way that it brings a joy to your life.
What are your kids' names, PJ?
My little girl's name is Indira, and my little boy's name is Drew.
That's awesome. Well,
hopefully we'll be there Sunday.
Well, you'll see Michael there, and that's at Cliff Hazelbaker's. And like we said, ladies and gentlemen, the information is available at gospelrevolution.com, as well as a meeting in Southern Illinois. For those of you that are in Kentucky and Missouri and in Southern Illinois, and that general area there, consider getting over to Steve Essayer's, and his phone number and the information is on the website at gospelrevolution.com. PJ, we'll see you Sunday, hopefully. And as one that raised their kids, I've got six kids, so I feel your pain. And I used to go and anoint my kids with oil when they slept every night, just trying to somehow ward off the devil and hell, and so I understand, and we have an adopted girl too, so it's an awesome life. Are you there, PJ? Michael, are you there? We just lost everybody. I don't know what happened. Well, I guess as John Adair would say, when God wants to take you out, He can take you out. So we've run well over tonight, but we were dealing with such vital issues that we wanted to give it a proper time. And I will be calling back Michael, ladies and gentlemen, to make sure that he's okay and PJ's okay.
I'm here.
Michael is back. Is PJ there?
I can hear you, but it's breaking up real bad.
All right. Well, like I said, that's what John said, Michael. You know, when God's ready to take you out. Hey, PJ, we'll see you Sunday, bro.
All right, appreciate it.
Thanks for calling. All right,
bye.
Michael, well, safe journey.
Yes.
Going to the land of Lincoln and Hoosierland. And as Michael said earlier, ladies and gentlemen, inviting Michael is very easy. Just contact us, or you can go to the website and click on the Invite Mike icon, and the information's there. It is not expensive, and lives are touched and changed oftentimes, and it's a beautiful thing. So have a great time, Mikey.
Yes, it is.
We can't wait to hear the recordings of the meetings. New teachings are coming. That is awesome. And Michael's gone away again. All right, Patty, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you so much for participating, ladies and gentlemen, and for listening. And for those of you who continue to give monthly to the Gospel Revolution, we cannot thank you enough. That is the lifeblood of this effort, the regular giving, and as we've said before and on the emails, for those of you that are waiting on CDs and DVDs and teachings that have not come to you yet, that have notified us that you have not gotten them, those are on the way. We've finally gotten the equipment down to Houston, and it's been set up, and this process continues, and hopefully we will not have this problem again now that all the equipment and the materials and the teachings are all with Michael in one place at the Freedom Worship Center in beautiful Houston, Texas. So we will talk to you again 1 week's time from now. Michael will be on the road. We'll be here in Tampa, and you will be there listening online. And this is Glenn Klein Online, thanking Patrick L. Jones, our executive engineer and producer, for taking care of all the technical end. Until next week, shalom, everybody!